Support for this podcast comes from the Fletcher School of Global Affairs at Tufts University. To start your future as a global changemaker, you must have context across fields like international business, cybersecurity, energy policy, and more. Don't just study global affairs, shape them. Visit fletcher.tufts.edu.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. 92,000 classified documents. This week, the website WikiLeaks, through three international old media outlets, revealed a trove of military documents detailing years of the war in Afghanistan. WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange here on the voluminous data dump.
But this, if you like, is the beginning, the end, and the middle. This is the whole context. With some exceptions of the Afghan war. And if anything can give us some kind of intellectual understanding, surely this is it. Whether it engages people emotionally is another matter.
Well, it certainly engaged people in the debate over the demands of national security versus the internet's power to provide citizens previously inaccessible information. In the story of WikiLeaks is the story of a 21st century push for total transparency. But a push to what end? Well, joining us now to answer that question, or at least help us answer that question, is Arkan Fung. He's a professor at Harvard's Kennedy School of Government and co-author of Full Disclosure, The Perils and Promise of Transparency. Arkan Fung, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you.
So let me ask you, we'll talk about the promise of transparency in a minute, but the perils of transparency, do you see a peril in the release of these 92,000 documents on WikiLeaks?
Well, I think the most obvious peril is whether or not after people read the 90,000 documents, there is information in there that could actually jeopardize people's lives. And both WikiLeaks and the three, as you say, old media organizations, The Guardian, Der Spiegel, and The New York Times, say they went through fairly painstaking efforts to redact those documents. So we hope that that direct harm doesn't result.
So it sounds like on the WikiLeaks itself, you're saying the peril is strictly limited to the potential outcome as it affects the war there. But overall, the title of your book is a pretty provocative one, that there could even be a peril when it comes to transparency. I mean, I thought that one of the great efforts of American society was to continuously try to be as open as possible.
Well, I think that, our book talks about many of the perils of transparency, which is some of them are that people could misunderstand information, or one of the more mundane perils is it could just waste a lot of people's time to produce all of this information to no real good end. However, I think that that in this specific case with WikiLeaks, another potential peril is embarrassment to the government. And I think that's one of the main...
But why is that perilous?
Well, it's perilous for the government. I don't think it's perilous for the American public. I don't think it's one of those harms that we should take really seriously. As a matter of fact, if there's anything embarrassing in there, it's probably important for the public to know that.
Mm-hmm. I understand that you write that also that there is a potential downside to transparency, or another one of them is that especially when it comes to transparency and government, that it may focus people's attention too much on where government has failed.
Yeah, and so this comes out of an essay that David Weil and I wrote, and almost all of the discussion right now around transparency focuses on the actions of government as such. And I think there are two basic problems with that. One is that as a citizen, you basically want information about all kinds of threats and risks to you. And some of those threats and risks come from government. Government can tax you, can put you in jail, can make mistakes that badly affect your life. But many of the risks come from the private sector and from corporations, people who sell you drugs that have not been fully tested, or cars that roll over or won't stop. Food that's contaminated. And so to my mind, an equal amount and perhaps even more energy should be directed toward making the activities of private sector actors more transparent. Now, the other issue is that right now, even most of the transparency efforts around government are about accountability. And so with all due respect, when you marry efforts to make government more accountable about how much money they spend, et cetera, to a media environment in which journalists are focused on oftentimes on catching government doing something wrong, and a public that is cynical about government to begin with, you can get into a vicious cycle in which the information that happens to come out and on which people focus ends up delegitimating government.
But I take your point, but the cynicism emerges from a place. I mean, in part, the cynicism emerges from, say, a generation ago where secrecy in the White House, I'm thinking with the Nixon administration, for example, was the MO, and it was exactly that unwillingness to release information, unwillingness to be open and transparent that made people think, well, government obviously does have something to hide. So if it be, you know, old and new media that is the vehicle, that is the watchdog, that's fine. But it seems like there's a response or the drive is coming from people themselves who say, I want to know more about what my government does. So why not have them be more accountable?
Absolutely. And don't get me wrong. I think that we do need that accountability. But one problem I like to draw an analogy is that current disclosure and transparency systems about government are like an Amazon rating system in which government can only get one or two stars. And so you want to know when government is doing a one or two star job, but you also want to have ways of registering when government is doing a four or five star job. And our current transparency systems don't do that. Now, this is an interesting thing with regard to the WikiLeaks. So on his first full day in office, one of the first things that President Obama did is issue a memorandum in which he said, I want to make my government, this government, more transparent, more participatory, and more collaborative. And so the Obama administration actually has made big gains on this transparency dimension. But when this WikiLeaks event happens, the Afghanistan papers or whatever you call them happens, they revert to an old mode in which they're quite angry that this leak happened. And if it's the case, if two things are the case, if there's not really harmful information that's going to get people killed, that's one thing. And if the, as many people have been saying, if there are no real big surprises in all of these leaks, then that would make it quite a bit different from the Pentagon Papers or even from disclosures around Bush-era national security policies, especially around coercive interrogation and so on, in which there's good reason to believe that the government was misleading the public. If it's the case that the government's line is not so much different from the reality that's revealed in these Afghanistan papers, then it seems to me that the White House ought to be claiming credit and say, look, you know, we haven't been deceiving you, as you say, the Nixon administration and many others have.
Well, I suppose it depends on what a person's particular definition is of no surprises, because I think one thing that did surprise me is the level of detail, for example, in these documents.
For sure.
And, you know, for those people who don't follow daily coverage of the war in 19 different international papers, maybe there were some surprising things in there. And there's also the argument that just the fact the information in and of itself has value, and the value has to be assigned by people who are absorbing it. And that's
yes.
One of the inherent reasons why people call for transparency, that it's not for the media or for the government to decide what's important to know. That putting it out there, which is what WikiLeaks claims to do, is the important act so that people can make individual decisions. But let me ask you about that as a society-wide thing, because I know that's the other thing. We've just got a minute to go here,
sure.
So I'm throwing the big question at you at the
sure.
end. But your real big call here is not just for focusing on transparency in government, but for creating an open society in general. So how would we encourage transparency in the private sector, the public sector, in our own daily lives?
And so to that extent, I think that a lot of information of the WikiLeaks kind, of very detailed information, not just about government, but about all kinds of private sector activities ought to be out there. And then it's up to other parties like journalists, like NGOs, like even for-profit corporations to make sense of that information and turn it into information that citizens can use either to protect themselves, to make the right decisions, or to make judgments about whether or not their government is performing well or poorly.
The internet seems to be the vehicle or potentially the vehicle to do that.
It certainly is accelerating things and getting much more information out there.
All right. Well, that's Arkon Fung. He's a professor at Harvard's Kennedy School of Government, co-director of the Transparency Project there, and author of Full Disclosure, The Perils and Promise of Transparency. Arkon Fung, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thanks for having me on.
Radio Boston is a production of WBUR with regular contributions from TheAngle at Boston.com. Remember, if you have a comment on this segment or any segment on Radio Boston, you can always reach us on our website WBUR.org/Boston, or at our listener line, 617-353-1137. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. See you tomorrow for more Radio Boston.